Do either of you know how long Jean Todt lasted as Ferrari team boss? I know I'm starting this episode with a bit of a quiz question, but you know, I was trying to think about team bosses who presided over a period of winning. You know, not Toto Wolff. I was thinking a little bit further back. And not Ron Dennis, he doesn't count.
93 to 06, was it?
I was going to say, do you know the answer, Scott? Because I know what you're
asking. I do know the answer, yeah. I chat-GPT'd it waiting at some traffic lights earlier. Because I was kind of curious about the answer here.
And I must find out now.
Well, it was the kind of thing I would do it now, otherwise I would completely forget. You know, basically, chat-GPT is like my inbox of stuff to do. Yes. Okay. Simon, you are very close. It is 93 to 07.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
14 years.
I didn't realize it was that early or late, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I was just surprised that. Did he decide to step down after 07? This bit, I don't know the answer to. I probably should have followed up with ChatGPT, but I think the light went green at this point and I had to go. I assume it wasn't you are fired.
No, I think he walked away or contract ended or something along those lines.
Kimi won in 07, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so he wouldn't have been fired then, would he?
You know, so I think this is the thing with motorsport. You will either walk away of your own accord or you will get fired. There is no... there's no other way. It's the same for drivers. It's the same for team bosses. With drivers, there's an extra thing where do you quit before the inevitable slide down the grid, or do you retire once you start to see these cracks? And I suppose Jean Todt left on high, and left an excellent legacy. So,
yeah,
you don't sound convinced.
He was good up until that point. Don't get me wrong. What he achieved with Ferrari was excellent. But did he leave them in a good position? They have won one title since then, I believe.
No, he didn't. But
08 constructors, did they win?
Oh, right.
Maybe. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. But do you think that's part of the reason why he left? Do you think considering he left in 07 and they won the Drivers' Championship that year, should he have continued on into 08? This is kind of very much bring back V10s kind of relevant topic. But, I do feel it's quite relevant here. So, you know, thinking about Christian Horner, obviously he has had, he's had an even longer run, 20 years. You know, he was the longest serving team boss until he was removed from his duties at Red Bull Racing. It's kind of weird to me to, you know, there's not really a here is why. Do either of you know why he has been fired or have any ideas as to why he's been fired? Is it a mixture of things?
As far as I'm aware, haven't Red Bull kind of stated it's on sporting grounds?
Yeah, but they're going to say that anyway, aren't they?
But the whole controversy surely plays a part in it. Like, it can't not. Yeah, with the sporting grounds, I kind of have a bit of sympathy for him. With the personal issues, and I have no sympathy at all, but sporting-wise, I think it's a very rough decision.
The flip side of that, though, is I can't remember as big a slide in such a short period of time under the same rule set as Red Bull. They remember just what? A season and a half?
2 years ago?
Yeah. Less than 2 years ago, they won all but one race. And now they've been outscored by Nico Hülkenberg over the last six races. in a Sauber that's probably had, you know, two cornflake packets and some polos thrown at it in the past year. It's just, if you think of, you know, in football terms or anything like that, if somebody had managed that, you wouldn't question them getting rid of the person in charge. And it's not like Horner was just the team principal. He ran that entire team from top to bottom. Every aspect of it was under his control. And at some point, you have got to ask, how has it gone that bad? Because, yeah, I mean, can you think of any team who's done such a big slide without a rule change of some sort?
I was literally just, while you were saying that, trying to rack my brains, thinking about teams that won a world championship and had a slide after that. I was trying to think about Williams, but, you know, they won in 97, and then there was a fairly major rule change for 98. McLaren? But even still, you know, there were still rule changes for every single one of those.
Yeah.
You're right. It's absolutely monumental. You know, you don't get this kind of slide from top to bottom. And fundamentally, he is responsible for this. But at the same time, this happens to every Formula One team. There is no team that has ever had consistent levels of victory. In fact, there's quite a few who have had consistent levels of failure and still have the same team bosses. You know, again, we've seen this with Ferrari. We've seen it with Williams. We've seen it with McLaren. We have seen it with Red Bull before, and they managed to turn things around. You know, you think about after the Vettel days, you know, and then getting back into the Verstappen days. It happens. This is what happens. So, like, why have they decided now this is the time they want to get rid of Christian Horner? It can't just be on sporting grounds.
What you mentioned there, Scott, is kind of one of the things I was thinking that probably gave Horner credit in the bank as such, is that they obviously had the Vettel dominance, which then dropped off, replaced by Mercedes dominance. But they kept Horner through that. They've kind of reworked back up into Max's dominance. And so it kind of shows that he's took the team from its beginnings and average middle grid. They grew and grew into that Vettel dominance. They had that downfall. Then they climbed up again. And I think the lows now are lower than they were post-Vettel, but he's previously proven twice that he can bring a team up. So, like you say, it's almost a natural ebb and flow of a team's performance and a team's dominance that they will. It doesn't last forever, and other teams catch up, things change. So it is, like you say, why now? Why at this point, rather than waiting for, you know, him to prove what he's done before?
I mean, if you do take this purely on sporting grounds and you're Red Bull and you're looking for a team principal, well, there's a guy that's just been fired from a racing team who has had a history of winning quite a lot of world championships, turning a mid-grid team into an absolute Formula One powerhouse. And his name is Christian Horner. But, you know, it's not about sporting grounds, is it? That just happens to be the most recent excuse. I think what this comes down to is Jos Verstappen does not like Christian Horner. That's kind of what it seems like. I mean, does Max have a problem with Christian Horner? Or do either of you know?
He's never really slated him, I don't think, but he's never really backed him either. He's kind of been very, well, publicly neutral, I think, which probably says more in terms of a negative than a positive. But
then how often do you get a driver praising a team boss?
How often do you get a driver needing to praise a team boss more than Christian Horner?
I mean, the answer is not very many. You know, I guess this is the outcome of a power struggle, and it's between Christian Horner, Helmut Marko, Jos Verstappen, and the Thai owners of Red Bull. Because I assume the Austrian owners of Red Bull are, like, in with Helmut Marko. You know, and obviously the final straw has been decided by the Thai owners of Red Bull, who have said, right, well, that's it, time to get rid of him. Do you think it's the right decision to get rid of him?
It's hard to say yes, but it's hard to say no. It's really difficult.
It's exactly that. It's on the face of it, like I say, he's overseen the biggest slide I can remember. He's lost some very good people on his watch. Adrian Newey has gone pretty much as a direct consequence of Horner's actions, let's say. I think that's fair to say. I think that's fairly well known. Max is, yeah, a lot of rumours about whether he's going or not. It seems an odd time to get rid of him. But at the same time, you can kind of see how it's justified. Yeah. It's a difficult one, isn't it?
It really is a difficult one. And I kind of feel that this is a decision that probably should have been taken towards the end of the year rather than immediately after the British Grand Prix. We are letting this guy go. You know, I imagine that this doesn't give Laurent Mekies a lot of time to, you know, get up to speed. If they had announced that this was going to be a 6-month transition to a new team boss, you'd have to imagine this would set Red Bull up slightly better for the future rather than parachuting Mekies in and saying, okay, here you go. You know, deal with the engine, deal with the new rules, deal with the chassis, deal with Max Verstappen, deal with Jos Verstappen, deal with Helmut Marko, all of this kind of stuff. Oh, and you start at lunchtime. You know, I mean, it just seems like total chaos.
It kind of suggests that this has been done in reaction to something. And it wasn't planned to me, because at least you'd at least wait for the summer shutdown or something if it was planned.
Yeah.
Surely.
On the BBC podcast, I think it was Andrew Benson said that quite a few people saw Christian Horner in a very heated discussion with Jos Verstappen.
And, is there any other kind of Jos Verstappen?
Well, there's the one where he just leaves you in a garage and then drives off. That's the other kind of discussion, the silent treatment. Yeah. I mean, it does seem that he is an incredibly awkward personality, an incredibly toxic personality to be around. He does not seem like the guy who you would want running around a Formula One team. And whenever you consider that Jos Verstappen is not a paid employee of Red Bull Racing, you know, the fact that he and I assume Helmut Marko have conspired to deal with the tie owners to get Horner out. I mean, is this what they want? Like, what do they want to happen? Are we going to see Jos Verstappen become like the team strategist or something? You know, sure, I know he wants the best for his son, but how is this getting to that? I don't know.
But for Red Bull, is Max really worth it? Because at the end of the day, a couple of years, he won't be there.
So he's the best. He's the best for now, isn't he? He's the devil, you know, in the, you know, that he can win championships given the right car. And you have to kind of gamble everything on keeping him. Maybe actually what it was is that this discussion was either, you know, Jos Verstappen said either Max goes or you go, you know, and they went to the Thai bosses of Red Bull and said, you pick. Who would you rather have in your team?
I'd rather have Horner.
I would rather have Horner.
Well, that's not what the bosses of Red Bull decided.
I mean, like I said, Max is, you know, in terms of F1, big tough words, Max is an incredible driver. And he's done amazing things at Red Bull. He's even done amazing things this year with the car. But at the end of the day, the car's kind of ended up as it is under kind of his direction. And so how valuable is he in a long-term strategy?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know if Max was in this year's McLaren, how would he fare? Given that that seems to be quite a neutrally balanced car. you know, yeah, I mean, Max obviously likes a car with a pointy front end and a rear end that he can catch when it starts sliding, but it seems that they've gone a little bit too far with this. You know, I think that even though you say this has happened on Max's watch, he still come out and said, you know, even when times were good, he was saying, well, car's a little bit tricky, you know, the car is awkward. And certainly as we got into last year, he was publicly pushing back and saying, this car is not good. You know, this car is tricky. So I guess he has led them down this path, but at some point he has wanted to put the brakes on this and they have just kept going, you know, because it worked for them in the past. Max seems like the kind of driver who, once he stops winning, he'll just leave. And it's not that he'll even leave Red Bull. He could just leave Formula One.
And that's
He's not short on money. He's not short on things to do.
That's why if I'm the owner of a team, I think I'd rather stick with a team boss with, what was it, eight drivers' championships, six constructors' championships, because in the long term, I'm more likely to have success. If you're prioritising Max over Horner or the driver over the team principal, that tells me you're looking more for short-term success and you're just planning on hoping it will work out down the line. But then I guess the flip side of that is, do they think the success was down to Christian Horner, or did Christian Horner have such good standing within the team because he was the one who brought Adrian Newey along? And
well, Christian Horner seems like the kind of guy who wants to put the right people in the right places, you know, and that means doing whatever it takes, you know, hiring DC to get Newey,
yeah,
taking a punt on this kid Verstappen, taking a punt on actually a whole load of drivers who some of them turned out to be okay, some of them turned out to be crap, and one of them turned out to be a four-time world champion, you know. That seems to be his great strength as a team boss, is knowing how to put the right people in charge. Now, unfortunately, what that means is when the right people leave as a result of some actions of yours, you kind of have to hope that the people underneath them are just as good. And maybe they're not, but that's why you have these kind of big stars to come in. I mean, I suppose it's a very Red Bull way, isn't it? You know, they kind of came in as the big bombastic team and they were like, we want to sign the best drivers. We want to get this. We want to do that. I suppose it's almost a model that Aston Martin have adopted now. Money is no object. Just get the best people no matter what. And it does work. You know, it will bring you maybe not long, long, long-term success, but it can bring you a period or several periods of success when done properly. You know, so it's hard to see how Laurent Mekies deals with that. Obviously, you know, he's been around the block for a while. He's been at Minardi, he's been at the FIA, he's been at Ferrari, he's been at Toro Rosso. You know, he's done a lot. But do you think that he is the right guy to lead Red Bull version 2?
I know he's experienced, but it does feel a bit like putting Gasly in the second Red Bull seat. I'm very nervous for him.
Yeah, I mean, we just don't know, though. You know, like, who would have thought that the F3000 driver, who was, 31 whenever he took on running a Formula 1 team, would actually go on to achieve, you know, like you said, Tim, eight World Drivers' Championships and a bunch of Constructors' Championships as well. To me, it seems like I think I've said this on the podcast before. It seems like the Red Bull era is over for now. And I don't know if Laurent Mekies is the guy to bring Red Bull back to the top. I also have no idea who he is. It's definitely not me.
I think, ironically, they lost Horner's ideal successor last year in Jonathan Wheatley.
Yeah,
exactly. And as I alluded to earlier, yeah, he's gone to Sauber and have already outscored Red Bull in the last six races, which kind of yeah proves the point. But again, you know, these allegations against Horner have been going on for a year. There was the whole power play last year at the start of last season to get rid of him. There was rumoured votes and all that sort of stuff about whether to keep him. And Wheatley was still with the team. So if that was your succession plan, maybe, you know, a bit of strategic thinking, maybe last season was the right time to do it. But then how do you sack a guy who's, you know, we're saying, is it right to sack Horner? Is it the right time? Should we do it? You know, I'd say, should we have done that at the start of last season when he just won all but one race?
So, yeah, I mean, I suppose it's easy to brush these things under the carpet whenever you're winning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It exactly is.
I think the big thing for Mekies, though, isn't it, is he's not just coming in as a team principal. He's coming into a team that's been obliterated, a huge talent drain. There's going to be huge talent black spots within the team that he's got to fix. He's got the engine manufacturer coming in. It's such a massive job. And like I say, I don't want to say just a team principal, but he's got such a big, I think Horner had such a big standing after 20 years, as you'd expect, that just coming in as a team principal will not replace Horner kind of at all. And there's a lot more, I think, that needs to happen behind the scenes that within F1 perception won't get picked up. And it is just, what results will Red Bull get under Mekies? And that's kind of the general judgment. But there's such a big gap behind that to fill. Like you say, I don't think there is a perfect person, because after 20 years, one person isn't just one person as such.
Let me ask you both a question. This might seem quite dramatic, but I think it's a question worth answering or worth asking. Do you think that there is an existential threat to Red Bull Racing? Do you still see Red Bull Racing on the grid in 10 years' time?
It's actually a question I've been thinking about myself, to be honest with you. Red Bull Racing was Mateschitz's passion project, effectively. It was run separate from the Red Bull business. It was on its own. Christian Horner was put in place to run the Red Bull Racing, Red Bull Technologies, that side of the business. It was completely separate from the Red Bull empire. Since his passing, it seems to have been absorbed a bit more into Red Bull themselves. I believe it's now part of their adventure division or sports division or something like that. And so it seems to be run more like a business, a corporate business, which very rarely works for racing teams, Ferrari being the prime example of that. And then there's countless other ones. Ironically, the team that became Red Bull, Jaguar, are probably one of the great examples. Toyota, another one.
Toyota, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah. If it starts to be run like a business rather than a racing team, do they end up like Alpine, where just merely existing mid-grid, being on telly for an hour every other weekend, is good enough exposure for them? They can make money from F1 now rather than ploughing money into it. I think it poses more of an existential threat to Minardi, Toro Rosso, whatever you want to call them this week, because, you know, I think if they were going to get rid of a team, it would probably be that one first. But yeah, I think it does sort of make me worry for the future of that team.
I mean, I would imagine that, like most Formula One teams, they are in Formula One to sell drinks. You know, it's the world's biggest advertising platform. And as soon as they aren't on TV as much, as soon as their cars aren't at the front end of the grid, with no clear indication that they're going to work their way back up there. I think that we absolutely need to ask that question. But really, again, Sim, it comes down to what you said. They can make money from Formula One. It's the same reason that Gene Haas is still here.
Yes.
You know, there is money to be made in Formula One, and you don't need to be winning to make that money. But at what point does it just look bad for the brand? You know, if their cars are 19th, it doesn't look good, does it?
There's an interesting point about the TV exposure, because I think certainly last 20 years, but probably more recently, the last 10, 15, Horner's been a very kind of prominent person on Sky coverage. I don't know about on the F1 TV side, but I know the Sky absolutely love having him on the pit wall, having him post-race or pre-race in a chat. And he loves it. He loves talking, being that vocal person. Whereas Mekis is the complete opposite. You never hear from him. You never hear, like, really have him on an interview. So even from that point of view, if they're getting less exposure from that side, are they going to be happy? But I think from a corporate aspect, isn't it these days literally just having an F1 team entry is some sort of ridiculously valuable asset?
Yeah.
Even if it's sat there, like, not really doing anything, just having that on the balance sheet is huge. And when Red Bull have effectively got that twice, then, yeah, they're going to be happy, I think, for a long time, just keeping it there.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right answer. Whether the drinks company are quite as happy to, you know, funnel money into it, I don't know if they do. Maybe they don't. But whether they'll continue to do that, it's hard to know. But either way, I would say that the Red Bull era is definitely over, and there may or may not be another one. And maybe they just go back to, we are a mid-grid team. Let's talk about Max Verstappen. If you are Max Verstappen, the team boss has gone. The lead designer has gone. The guy that got you into the seat, who has one eye, is still there. Do you stay at the team?
For me, it comes down to whether you think Horn has gone because of the Max camp or not. If you think Jos has tried to force Horner out, you can't imagine he's done that without Max's involvement. And it would suggest that Max wants to stay at the team then.
Do you think this means he will stay at the team?
I'm of the opinion that it's actually the other way, and Christian Horner was fired because he's lost Max Verstappen to Mercedes. So I think he's on his way to Mercedes.
So do you think that as a result of losing his star designer and his star driver, that's part of the reason that he's been fired?
Yeah, star designer, star driver, car slipping backwards. They've put several drivers in that second seat. It's not going anywhere. They can't get anything out of it. Suggestions are that whoever you put in, that's not going to do a great job. You're paying Sergio Perez £12 million a year to do nothing because you signed him to an extension last season when literally everybody was saying it was the wrong thing to do. I think losing Max Verstappen was the straw that's broken the Red Bull's back, and that's it.
Do you reckon that's for 2026?
Yes.
Replacing who?
Now, that's a good question. That is a very good question.
Well, before we dive into that, then, let's ask Matt. If you are Max Verstappen, what do you do? You have more money than God. You have four world championships. What are you going to do next year or for the year after?
It's difficult because you'd imagine that, I mean, Sim's completely thrown all my opinions upside down, but you'd imagine that with Horner gone, you'd think, right, the Verstappen camp, maybe more Jos than Max, but they'd be thinking, right, this is ours now, kind of thing. You know, let's stay and let's get something going and let's get back winning. But with the talent drain they've had, with the current form, there's no sign of that will happen. And so then do you stay with it and see, especially for the new rule set, where does the land lie? Or is that then too late? You could go into 2026 in Red Bull and then decide, actually, no, it's still crap. And then Mercedes are back at the top with a freshly re-signed George Russell. Is it, you know, has he missed his opportunity there, or does Toto still tear up whatever Russell had for 2027? Or do you just sack it off and then live the GT3 life? It's quite difficult. But you can't write off the Mercedes, like Sim said, Mercedes for 2026, because the talks are there, that's undeniable. And whether the talks have been there for Mercedes to put pressure on George and then for Max to put pressure on Red Bull, or whether they are genuine talks for an opening, then it's so complex and there's so many different avenues. that trying to just nail one down is really difficult.
Let me throw an absolute wild card out there. This is probably not what's going to happen, but yeah, there's a 5% chance this could happen. I think fundamentally it all comes down to money for Jos Verstappen. For Max, it comes down to racing and winning, but I could see that for Jos and possibly Helmut Marko, this is about money. I could foresee a scenario where they take a part ownership in the Red Bull team. And, you know, they treat that as their project. Max stays. They have a bunch of different number twos, but it basically becomes Team Verstappen, sponsored by Red Bull. You know, and like we said, Formula One is a massive money-making industry. Having a Formula One team basically guarantees you quite a lot of money for the rest of your life, more so than doing 5 years in Mercedes and then taking a Mercedes ambassador role. Again, I don't know if that's an idea. I think it's just that it's a bizarre idea that could happen. This is what podcasts are for. We put out the most stupidest ideas and see what happens.
I was going to say, when you say Scott's stupid ideas, that's actually like not on that radar. I don't think that's actually is actually quite plausible in some mad way.
I did think that as well. But for me, and this is the key question here, is if you were going to do that for Max Verstappen, why didn't you do that with Christian Horner? Because he's been trying to get a piece of that team for years, and especially since Matisic's passing. He clearly wanted a piece of that team. It rankled him massively that Toto's not an employee of Mercedes. He's a part owner of Mercedes, and you could see that. So I don't see why you'd not give up part of your team to Christian Horner. If he's asking at the end of 23, you know, why you'd now give up a piece of that team to Max.
Why would you give Sergio Perez a contract extension?
Yeah, I mean, Asim, I think that is a great question, you know, and you kind of have to assume that both Christian Horner and Helmut Marko probably were asking the Red Bull owners for a slice of this. Which became more successful.
To go even further, I would imagine that if you'd have offered Adrian Newey a piece of the pie, he'd have stayed. Mm. It's well known that's one of the reasons he left at Williams. It's one of the reasons he left McLaren. He's got a piece of the Aston Martin pie. So, yeah, if this time last year when he was Eddie Jordan was making his negotiations on his behalf, you got to imagine if you're willing to give up part of the team, then I'd probably be giving that to Adrian Newey over anybody else.
And possibly Dietrich Mateschitz didn't want to give up any percentage of that team, but after his passing, all of the kind of sub players underneath him decided that they did want a piece of it.
Yeah.
And have fought tooth and nail to get it.
Can we really see Max and George together in a team then?
I mean, if you're Toto Wolff, you're going to make somebody very unhappy, aren't you?
At least one.
Yeah, probably more than one.
In my mind, it makes sense to keep George, maybe farm Antonelli out and put Max alongside George for two reasons. One, it gives Antonelli a bit more time to learn out of the limelight. But two, if Toto signs Max, releases George, George is going straight to Red Bull. I keep George, I can stop that, and then I'm doubly screwing Red Bull, because who are they going to replace Max with at that point?
Yeah, I think that does seem good. Yeah, I mean, do you think, well, let me throw this, let's kind of open this up a little bit further. Max leaves Red Bull, there is basically two Red Bull seats there. You have a top-class driver at the bottom of the grid driving a Williams. You know, do you think we could see George Russell and Carlos Sainz in a Red Bull in 26, 27?
I mean, that is a great pairing.
It is a really good pairing. If you're Laura Mackey, surely this is, you know, you should be playing this game of 4D chess to get these drivers into a seat.
That team will get through a quickly. Lot of L'Oreal shampoo.
Matt, you're Toto Wolff. Max Verstappen wants a seat. Who are you getting rid of? One word answer.
Max.
Are you keeping Kimi Antonelli over four-time Formula One Drivers' World Champion Max Verstappen?
Am I keeping this driver that's come up through my academy, that's nurtured through all my care, all my development resources? Am I going to sack that off, this whirlwind of controversy to come in?
But at the same time, you know, the Max to Mercedes has been a long time thing, you know, the dating back to pre-Formula One, dating back to driver academies, you know, where Jos Verstappen was very unhappy that the Mercedes Junior Academy was not interested in Max Verstappen. I mean, I as well as that, you know, you do have to think about who is the best driver to put in both of your seats. And if you have a possibility to get Max, and it's not a tiny, tiny chance, it does seem like there's a fairly sizable chance that this could happen. Surely you're going to do this, but also the board above you, who you answer to, even though you are a part owner, would quite like this as well. I mean, if you're Mercedes-Benz, the car company, surely you would love nothing more than to have Max Verstappen advertising your very dull, not very interesting, actually pretty terrible cars.
Can I flip this round to a question for you then, Scott?
Yeah.
If I'm Toto Wolff and I've got the choice of Kimi Antonelli or George Russell or a seven-time world champion who's won more races than anybody else... I've got to feel like Mercedes board would like such a person to be advertising their motor cars that are fairly boring, let's be honest.
Yeah. Yes, I totally agree. But I think in this instance, the seven-time world champion does not want to advertise the weird Mercedes EQ40, I don't know what they are, but they look kind of boring, but I kind of like the font. Yeah, it's I mean, obviously they are kind of boring cars, aren't they? And I also don't like, you know, with the Mercedes, like, you know, on the dashboard they have like all of the font, especially on the clusters, is always bold and italic. And it's just like, that's what you do when you need to make an impact. Bold, italic. If you need to write the word revs, you just go R-E-V-S. Small letters. You know, I have been in a few Mercedes. I have friends who drive Mercedes. It's the one thing that would put me off a Mercedes is the bold, italic font face and the instrument cluster. Just don't like it. Anyway, yes, Lewis would be a great asset to Mercedes, but I think that ship might have sailed. I think that, Sim, I think that actually your plan of punt Antonelli over to Williams for a year or two and basically give him the George Russell training treatment. What about having George and Max in the same team? I mean, they're two quite big personalities who have a history. We have seen before when drivers that have a history end up in the same team that it doesn't go well. And I know that Pierre Gasly and Esteban Ocon isn't exactly the world's best example of this, but it's the most recent example where at the end of the year, one of them goes, well, I've just had enough of this. Do you think that Toto Wolff is the great harmonizer who managed to make George and Max into the best buddies on the grid?
Do they need to be?
For the sake of the team, they probably need to be a bit closer than they are at the minute.
I think the problem is that Max has been getting a bit too close sometimes to George.
I think it's probably actually quite similar to the how Nico and Lewis ended up. Maybe not at the beginning, but when you look at towards the end, it's probably quite a similar dynamic to that.
Yeah, I think that's probably quite accurate in that you've got the driver who has won quite a lot and then the driver who has not won anything yet doing everything he can and seeing a sports psychologist every single day to make sure that he wins the world championship and then immediately retires. I mean, it surely must be something that Mercedes would be thinking about. You know, the ramifications of having these two in a team, that it could go disastrously wrong quite easily. And you do not want to be the team boss presiding over that. Or maybe you do if they're winning.
I was going to say, if you're winning, do you care?
No, it just becomes McLaren 89, 88, 91. I don't know, whatever that year was when they had Prost and Senna.
Yeah.
It was one of those. Greg would know. That definitely seems like the kind of lineup that leads to more wins than Antonelli Verstappen.
Yeah.
And therefore, as a team boss, that's surely what you must be aiming for. It seems that the method that worked for Red Bull, that worked for Ferrari in the 90s, of one lead driver and then another driver who shows up in the same overalls, it worked for Ferrari, it worked for Red Bull. I guess in a sense, it kind of worked for Mercedes as well. But McLaren have proved that you can kind of make it work with two equal drivers if they're both of a similar standard and they both kind of get on with each other. Whether that works long term, I don't know. And we will find out. But it's, you know, it's definitely something that I think Toto should be thinking about. Not that he needs me to tell him like what he should be thinking about. Although we do share the same birthday, so that's cool.
And there the similarities.
Yes, unfortunately so. You have one who runs an award-winning, incredibly respected and highly sought-after jazz club, and Toto Wolff.
Exactly where I was going with that.
So that's a fair bit to talk about Max then, but where does Christian Horner go next? Does he still have a future in F1? Is he outside F1, but still in motorsports? Or I think there's one kind of white elephant within the F1 grid.
Are you talking about Alpine?
Yeah.
Ah, he's not going to go to Alpine. Do you really think he's going to answer to Flavio Briatore?
No. Well, I think okay. He replaces Flav.
Well, Flav's not going anywhere.
What do you think Flav's purpose at Alpine is?
Collect money.
To sell the team. We spoke about the fact that Christian Horner clearly wants to be an owner of a team. Mm. You think if he rocked up at Flav and said, I'll give you X million to 50%, 60%, 70% of this team and install myself as team principal, CEO, do you think Flav walks away from that? Says no. I mean, let's not forget that Flav can't be a team principal because he doesn't have a license to be a team principal and he won't get a license to be a team principal. Steve Nielsen, I think, is taking over as team principal at Alpine.
Yes, he is, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. Part of me does think that that is probably the most likely landing place as a part owner, at least, for Horner.
I think if you're Renault, as in Renault Car Company, not... I suppose any other Renaults. I can't think of any other.
I think it's another Renault, like another Lotus or something like that.
Sorry, I'm thinking about Steve Renault. He runs a fishing company. If you're Renault, you have to ask yourself, is this the kind of person that we want to get involved with? And is this, I mean, they've clearly answered that with Flavio.
It's a very low bar.
I mean, I think maybe we should have a go of running that team as well. How hard can it be to get a check from Renault?
That's Danny Rick.
Yeah, he did all right. To be honest, I don't see it happening. I think that he would. It kind of seems a bit like the rebound, doesn't it? You know, quickly let's go to Alpine and let's see what we can figure out. But inevitably, it's just going to be question after question about what happened at Red Bull, what happened at Red Bull, how are you making sure this doesn't happen again? You know, I think Christian Horner is in some ways a distraction from running the team. And, it, you know, it's probably worth mentioning that he wanted complete control. Like you said, Sim, he wants complete control of absolutely everything. And quite a lot of teams seem to be moving away from that model now. You know, you think about Andrea Stella at McLaren, you know, he's reporting to Zach Brown. You know, there's like the team boss and then there's the team, the guy that runs the team. Christian wanted to be both. And it seems that that kind of model doesn't really exist anymore. And I know that he would want to come into Alpine and he would want to take control and obviously take a lot of money. But whether that's the formula for success now, you know, in this era of Formula One, it's hard to know. I mean, he's what, 50, you know, he's around that age. He still has a lot of life left in him with it, you know, in racing terms. But I think that his days of team ownership in Formula One are over. There could be a position at the FIA with something. Maybe he should just run the FIA. Hey, that'd be great. I mean, he'd truly be better than MBS, right? Wouldn't be hard.
Low bar again.
yeah, again, that's us barred from the paddock for another 5 years, isn't it? Or maybe he just goes off and does something different now.
Or Frédéric Vasseur's contract is up at the end of this season and Ferrari were after him before Frédéric Vasseur. Is there maybe something there?
Lewis and Christian Horner in the same team? Are you sure? I mean, I'm sure they would put it all behind themselves, but...
Is that weird Ferrari Leo?
Well, you think it's the same for team principals as it is for drivers? See you at the end of your career directing the red cars around for a while, and then leave.
Plenty of people have done it so far.
No, I think Fred Vasseur is probably and hopefully should be safe there. I think that this is just the end of the road and the end of the Formula One road for Christian Horner. It's not the end that I'm sure he would have wanted. I'm sure it's not the end that even the Red Bull bosses would have wanted. It's the end that Jos Verstappen would have wanted. whether Max wanted it, I don't know. I'm sure even Toto Wolff probably doesn't want to see Christian Horner's career end like this as well.
I did. but I genuinely don't. I think he's got unfinished business now. I think he will be back.
Yeah.
The structure,
I think going out like this.
He will come back to prove a point to Red Bull, I think.
Maybe he could just buy... Racing Bulls. Or just buy Red Bull.
Or Audi.
Well, I mean, it's a shame that Audi actually have a decent team principal because that he would have been maybe a good fit there. Yeah, but they have Mattia Binotto until they get fed up of him. Well, Christian Horner's career has come to an end, and unfortunately, in the worst possible link, so has this podcast. Thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions, please do add us on social media. I can't remember what we're on. Are we on Blue Sky?
There is a Blue Sky account at vocast.bluesky.social.com.net.web.
Yeah, great. Yeah. And maybe just add us on the Racing Line on Instagram as well. I think it is the Racing, or is it the Racing Line app?
Yeah. Matt can put it all in the links below.
Yeah, it's all in the show notes.
Do that. All right. See you next week. Bye.